You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Michelle Lai. She's talking to me from Phoenix. Michelle, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, Brainerd. Thanks for having me.
So, Michelle, let's talk about what it is that you're working on now or what's been most recently accomplished that you're working on.
Sure, yeah. You know, that's a big question. I feel like lately I've been contemplating about the question of what is my work and, you know, what is it, you know? And it's
right.
Interesting to be asked to formulate in words what is my work. So I'll just explain a little bit about my background. I am an interdisciplinary performance artist, and I've been dancing, doing performance works for the last 8 years, involving poetry and a Buto influence sort of language of dance. And yeah, and lately I've kind of dove into this realm of incorporating live poetry, sculpting it live using a looper pedal and using this method to generate movement in the moment. So that's been kind of the latest thing I've been working on. I recently did a performance at the Blue Whale in downtown LA, which involved this exploration, and I had some musicians collaborating with me, two percussionists, one bass player, and my fiance, who's a guitar player and a tambura player. So that's been the most recent performance of my own work. But I'm also dancing in others' work. So I've been dancing with this group called Body Weather Laboratory, led by Roxanne Steinberg and Oguri in Venice, California. And that's been a great training, a great experience, a great development of relationships in the last 8 years.
And when you talked about sculpting with a looser pedal, if I got that right, what does that mean exactly? Can you walk me through how that
Sure, yeah. So it all kind of started with I took my first trip to China a few years ago, and I'm Chinese. I had never been to China before, and I decided to do this writing experiment where I wrote for every day for 90 days, starting 30 days before the trip, 30 days during the trip, and 30 days after the trip. And after that experience, I had collected this, you know, pretty large body of material. And I just like, what do I do with this now? You know, I have all this writing. What do I do with it? I ended up taking it into the dance studio and sort of extracting the poetic text using my body. And so as I started to extract this poetic text and, you know, started, I guess you would call it editing, but I was kind of using my body to edit. The way I was performing it, you know, reading the text, it just felt like something that couldn't be read from beginning to end, and certain phrases felt like they wanted to appear at certain times unpremeditated. So what I did was I started playing with the looper pedal, and I would record myself reading these extracted texts. And as I'm reading them, I would use the looper pedal to sort of layer and sculpt on top of each other. So,
and how
I
would work? What does the looper pedal do exactly? Because I'm not familiar with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it you can record. So you hook it up to a microphone and you read into it, and you can record. So you hit the pedal once and you record what you're reading. And that saves a line of, you know, whatever recording it was you were using. And you can press it again, and then it'll play back your recording, but then you can record on top of that. And then you press it again, and it'll play that with the recorded layer on top of the other recorded layer. You can change the tempo of the recording that's being played. Yeah, you can really play around with it. But I used it in a pretty basic way, just layering.
So it's
on top
kind of like sampling and then playing back those samples in, but live. You're not. You
but live, play. Yeah, in real time. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that's what I was playing with.
So these are these. You're reading in this particular performance, or I guess in this particular way.
Right.
You're reading from your text directly, and that text is then becoming layered, you know, with itself.
Right. So as I'm reading the text kind of becomes something else in the moment. And from that text, I would, you know, take in what was created in the moment and begin moving from that. So, yeah, that's is my most recent work that I've been in process with, and I've performed that at the Blue Whale. I've performed it at the Architecture and Design Museum downtown. Yeah, it's been a really fun process.
That is cool. And when you're performing it, what else is happening? So there's the audience, and you have the mic, the Luther pedal, and and there's some sound equipment there. And are you doing other movements with your body? What else is happening while you're reading and doing all this?
Yeah, so the first time I performed this, it was just me with a microphone and the space. The audience watching was very intimate. And I would read, create the poem, sculpt live, and then from there I would go into movement based on these poems or extracted poems. So that was the first performance of it. The second one, which I did at the Blue Whale, was a lot different because I had been working with these musicians. So it was two percussionists, like I shared before, a bass player and a guitar player. And we actually, you know, it was very improvised. It was so great working with them because they're all very, you know, that's what these musicians do. They improvise. And it was so great to be creating in the moment. You know, a lot of it was unpremeditated. But it, at the same time, it was very intentional, and we had practiced working together and working with the text together. And so in that performance, I would read. They would play at the same time, kind of we're all listening to each other. And then when the time came, when that moment or feeling comes, for the movement to come in, I would begin to dance.
And the dance was an improvised dance or something more choreographed?
The dance was mostly improvised. There were some movements that I had been working with just from, you know, taking this text into the dance studio, but most of it was improvised. And yeah, and it was interesting just seeing what came out of that as well.
And the text,
but you know, the type of is, oh, sorry.
Yeah, but, no, I'm sorry. Go on. I was going to ask you about the content of the text, but go on. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to share that the type of dance that I do is very much based in improvisation and, you know, feeling and taking in what's in the surrounding environment in the moment. So it's yeah, I can talk about that more later, but What was your question?
I was asking about the content of the writing, because you did all this writing, which sounds like a pretty amazing project itself, and when you were traveling to China. So how does that, and maybe this comes almost to what you were saying at the beginning, how does that content come out, and is that a big part of what's happening? Because, you know, often in dance and in music and in performance, there isn't this layer of content in a narrative way, and not that it's necessarily narrative, but what is happening with that content, and what was the content? Is it something
right.
that the understanding, or is it more like overtones of it?
The content, it's so hard to talk about. The content was not so much understanding, but I would say maybe moments. So I'll talk a little bit about the content. So the poem starts out talking about China is an indoor cat. And this came from like the 30 days before I left to go visit China. And I was at the time living in this apartment in Silver Lake with a roommate. She had an indoor cat named China. And this cat would, she was an indoor cat. She never went outside, but she would look outside and stare like at this world outside, you know, almost like it was her home. It was familiar, but she wasn't allowed to go there. She had never known it, like this familiarity and fear at the same time. So there's this moment in the writings where I'm kind of just talking about this cat, right? And then skip forward to some observations. I would say probably like this content consisted of observations that I had collected both before I left and during the trip, and what I extracted from it was very kind of like a searching for something that's familiar and like home, and also pieces of dreams that I had had that when put together all seemed to tell a story and make sense on a sort of like mythical level, but also a very personal history kind of level. And I don't know if that makes any sense.
That does make sense. That's very clear. That's, you know, so it is really, and you talk about poems and that content is clear. And I can imagine that would be what you would be kind of thinking about and writing about on a trip.
Yeah.
Like
and
that.
A lot of it was, you know, like the physical landscape and like gray wet brick, you know, or floating at the surface, series of circular walks, you know, this description of something concrete but at the same time is so sensory and also symbolic. Yeah,
sure. And you said at the beginning of this talk, you know, and maybe it kind of ties in that, you know, part of what you're thinking about is what is your work, right? Who are you? What's going on? And so much of what you're talking about in that content in those poems that are formed, is that what was happening? You were reading actually poems, or was this just like prose text you were reading?
They were, I consider them like poetic extractions. So they were like pieces of poems that weren't fully formed yet, but once they were together, they became a poem that was kind of moving in the moment.
And you talked about at the beginning, which was part of the question I was just asking, about what your work is, or who you are, and I know this is kind of a big question. You're probably in the middle of it. But what have you come to in that? I mean, you're a performer, you're an artist, right?
Yeah.
You're working in a disciplinary form. But as you explore that question, what are you thinking, and what do you mean by kind of who am I, what am I? Are you thinking about what kind of artist are you, or something more about content?
Yeah, I think the question that it brought up for me is, why do I do this? You know, like what is my work and why do I do it? And it's like, yes, I'm an interdisciplinary performance artist. I dance, I wrote poetry. I am a poet. At my essence, I think I've always written and I've always danced, but I feel like what brought me to this particular practice of dance and why I dance and what it does to me and to people who receive it, I think I got a little bit more clarity on that. So I feel like when I dance, I feel like it's a opportunity to touch something within myself that feels very close. And the experience lies in the reason. And the reason is so difficult because it comes from something inside that requires listening and attention and taking in and letting go and surrendering and coming close all at the same time. And, you know, even though I can describe it, I could maybe describe it with words, it's also this huge, huge question that performance brings to me and the energy of that. And, I don't know if that answers your question. But.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, it's a question that's not easy to answer, and it's kind of, I guess, one that continues to be refined. So I guess another angle on that is also how it fits into the world or the marketplace or, you know, your
right.
life, because the work that you do sounds like it's not easily collected or funded.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, how is the work funded or is it, and is that a part of what you're doing? Does anything get into the marketplace or
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So as a dancer, it's funded. As an artist who's creating work and putting out there, I would probably say it's more supported. So, for instance, there is a performance I did in collaboration with the Hong Kong Forum, who's this activist group in Hong Kong, and it was the 25th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, and they invited a few of us artists to present some of our work, and that was supported, and so meaning they took care of, you know, all the production of it and the rehearsal space, but as far as, like, you know, earning money from it, that's been a difficult thing, which is why I have another life, which is I work in architecture. That's how I make a living. I mean, there's been moments where things are funded, and then there's been moments where they're not, and it's just, yeah, it's like, does that answer your question?
I think that's interesting. You know, because it's in this case, it's really not about the funding. I mean, you're being involved in architecture funds that, and the work. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, how is a poet funded? You know, it's sort of
exactly,
an odd question.
Yeah.
But it differs from artist to artist. Some have different kinds of funding or ways of funding it. So your day job essentially funds you being a poet, it sounds like.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, but I have, you know, I have been, I do consider myself professional, and I have been paid to perform the work, so that's definitely a plus. Whether I can live off it, that's another question.
Right. And so what will be happening next? Is there something upcoming? Is there a collaboration or performance you're working on now?
Yeah, there's stuff in the brewing system. I'm actually going to be going into a retreat, a writer's retreat conference in Mexico in January, and hoping to, you know, get the juices flowing there and just be around other poets. And I've been talking with a possible other collaborator who's interested in working with projection mapping. So we might get into that, but yeah, but right now that's where it is. And I'm just, it's funny too, the other thing I thought about when you asked about, or when the question came, what is my work, is just the practice of it. So just showing up weekly to practice, yeah.
To practice, and by practice you mean what exactly? What does that mean for you to practice?
For me, the practice is showing up to my training every week. We dance for 3 hours together every Sunday. The practice will be bringing in this text into the dance studio, showing up to the page to write, and just continuing that process. And yeah.
I like that. That's clear. Before we go, yeah, I want to ask you the question I ask everybody at the end, which is, uh-huh, what are you reading at the moment? Could be off topic or anything at all.
Sure. So right now I'm reading The Peregrine by J.A. Baker. It's this very detailed account about peregrines. And it's, well, really beautiful. I got the suggestion from somewhere. I heard Werner Herzog suggested to read it. So I was like, okay, what is this about?
You know, that came to mind when you said that, because, yeah, that Werner Herzog, I know, is doing this master class online. And, and in the little trailer of it, I didn't take the class, but he points to, and this is the only book you need to read. And
yeah.
You know, which is so cool and so hot. I mean, why do you think that book was the one he suggested to read as being so important to, I mean, in his case, cinematographers, filmmakers?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's so kind of obsessive. And I mean, I'm only on the 42nd page, but it's very detailed. Like, the observations are so detailed and poetic, at the same time very kind of dry, and there's this tone of like darkness, or just like day in, day out obsession with this bird, and very detailed poetic descriptions of like what it eats, how it hunts, where it's flying, like who it hangs out with, you know, all these, so detailed. It's great. I love it.
Well, that's interesting. I guess, you know, I mean, just to kind of imagine why Werner Herzog would want that, I suppose that's part of being an artist, that kind of obsessive interest and detail and that,
yeah,
exploration.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, I want to thank you for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work, and I wish you the best.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.